the two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." As he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you. Through the words of the Gospel, may our sins be wiped away. Well, good evening, everyone. In our Gospel passage, we see Jesus as he appears to his disciples as they're gathered together, and they are terrified when they see him, and they thought they were seeing a ghost, and he shows them that he has flesh and bones. And so I suppose many people have questions or doubts that arise about whether Jesus really did come back from the dead. And there is a heresy that says that Jesus' resurrection was a more of a spiritual one, that Jesus was resurrected in the hearts and minds of his disciples. Although that is true, the church believes that in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so here he is showing his disciples his bones and his flesh, and even eating fish in front of them to show that the resurrection is a bodily reality. It's true. And Jesus shows his hands and his feet. Why would he show them particularly his hands and his feet? I think it's because he's showing them the nail marks. He's showing them these wounds that are wounds that reveal his love for them, his love for each one of us. You know, in our world today, it seems more than ever that people are always pointing the blame at somebody else, and it's never their fault. It's always somebody else's fault. You know, no matter what the case may be, there's always somebody else's fault why they don't take full responsibility. Well, when we stand before Jesus and he shows you his wounds, we're going to be speechless. And we're going to know that it was our sins that caused these wounds to our Lord. His hands, his feet, his side, his head, his shoulders, his back. All these wounds that Jesus endured, he didn't have to endure them at a moment. He could have gotten out of it. He could have summoned a legion of angels at any moment, and he didn't have to endure all that, but he endured them because of his great love for us. And so the first thing he says to his disciples is peace. Peace be with you. He offers his reconciliation. He offers his forgiveness, and he will offer that to us as well. And so Jesus shows us his hands and his feet as evidence of his great enduring love. I recently heard a homily from Archbishop Fulton Sheen where he spoke about the ever-fresh wounds of Jesus. And the ever-fresh wounds of Jesus means that you, as his bride, as the church, you are the body of Christ. And when you suffer, Jesus suffers in your wounds. And so Jesus' wounds are always fresh and always new. And he's constantly suffering again and again through you, through your sufferings. When St. Paul was persecuting the Christians, and St. Paul has an experience of encountering Jesus, he hears those words, the accusation, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Jesus doesn't say, "Paul, why are you persecuting my church, those people who are following me? Why are you persecuting those Christians?" He's very personal about it, that what was suffered was something that Jesus himself suffered. Why are you persecuting me? And so when you suffer something because of your love for another person, Jesus is suffering through your body, and you are the body of Christ. And so Jesus' wounds are always fresh and new. One of the quotations that I got from Archbishop Fulton Sheen, he says that at some point in our life, God will ask you to show him your hands. God will ask you to show him your feet. And so he says, "Show me your hands. Do they have scars from giving? Show me your feet. Are they wounded in service? And show me your heart. Have you left a place for divine love?" Each of us is called to suffer as a way of showing or expressing our love. Can you imagine what would it be like to love something and not suffer for it? Anything else in life that you love, you suffer for it. If the thing that you love is motorcycles, your hands will be scarred with oil all the time because of your love for that bike, working on it all the time. Or maybe you've got scratches all over from being pinched in the chain and working on your bike. If you love football, you'll be scarred because of it. You'll remember the big game that you lost, and you're scarred because of this player or that player is injured or out of the game. And anything in life that we have love for, we have scars to prove our love. What about the church? You know, the church has things that ask us, and so many Catholics shy away from suffering. Abstain from eating meat on Friday in honor of Jesus' flesh on the cross. So many Catholics, I went to In-N-Out Burger during Lent on Friday. I forgot it was Lent. I forgot it was Friday, actually. And I ordered a double burger, one of those double cheeseburgers. And all I turned around and there must have been 15 parishioners there. And they were all eating meat. And so I took my double cheeseburger and then I realized it was Friday and I threw it in the trash. I said, "What are you all doing eating meat on Friday?" So many of us are unwilling to bear scars of our love for our church. One of my parishioners yesterday texted me. He was praying the rosary in front of the abortion clinic. And he said, "This is tough work." He said, "All these people are passing by, they're beeping their horns, they're giving us the finger, and they're yelling obscenities at us." I said, "Well, how many of you are down there?" Just me and two ladies. And I said, "Well, don't forget, the Lord said, if wicked men insult and hate you all because of me, then blessed are you." He texted me back and said, "We just finished a rosary, and this lady that was going in turned around and decided to keep her child, and says it's all worth it." And so his feet are scarred by standing in front of that abortion clinic. His head is scarred with the crown of thorns and the insults, the humility, the insults that are heaped upon him. And so many of us You know, I'm ashamed of myself. You know, in this past year, I haven't been out there praying the rosary in front of the abortion clinic, and I should. I should bear those scars. And there are so many other ways that we are called in our love for God, our love for the Lord, to bear the injuries of our world against him as his body, the body of the church. We're called to have scars. This morning, we celebrated the beautiful sacrament of confirmation for our school children, two full classrooms. I don't know, about 60 children were confirmed. How many of you remember your confirmation? How many of you were smacked by the bishop during your confirmation? Okay, a couple of you. How many of you were smacked really hard by the bishop? Okay, a couple of you. I was talking to a gentleman after the Mass, and he said, you know, I was really offended because when the bishop smacked me, it wasn't a little love tap. I said, what do you mean? He said, he smacked me, and I almost fell over. I was kneeling. And it was like, wow, what was that for? I was like, well, did they explain it to you, why they smacked you? He said, no. I said, well, did anybody smack him back? He said, we wanted to, but we didn't. The reason why that used to be part of the liturgy is because the church, in her wisdom, knows that if you put Christ at the center of your life, you're going to be scarred and wounded because of it. If you put Christ at the center of your life, you will be insulted for your faith. If you put Christ at the center of your life, you're going to be convicted to give your treasure to the poor out of respect for the human dignity, that the person shouldn't have to live like that, or to provide for people's basic needs. You'll be scarred in your giving. If you put Christ at the center of your life, there are so many ways that you are going to suffer because of your love. And so that's why you get smacked. You're going to suffer now. But in the midst of that suffering, you will know peace. Just as the Lord knew peace in his suffering. And so the smack comes with the salutation, peace be with you. So it makes a huge difference, I think, when we understand why we do things in a certain way. So I reinstituted the smack this morning, but not very hard, just a little like that. But we are called to have scars. And can you show the Lord your scars? I heard a story about a mother. She was a single mother. Her daughter, when her daughter turned 8 years old, her daughter asked her a question. She said, why are your hands so ugly? And the mother's hands were disfigured. And the mother sat her down and said, you know, when you were just a baby, we had a fire in the house, and I couldn't get to your room because of the fire. And finally, I just went into the fire, and I opened the door, and it severely burned my hand, but I was able to get in, and I pulled you out of the room into safety. And the child looked at her mother and said, then these are beautiful hands. These are sacred hands. The scar that this mother had in her hand was evidence to her love. Would it be a shame if when we get to our judgment that we don't have scars for our faith, for what we believe? Jesus, before he left us, he said, this I command you, love one another as I have loved you. And so we are called to bear those scars as we look for ways to suffer with him and for him. St. Paul has a beautiful saying in the scriptures that many Protestants are uncomfortable with. When Paul says, we make up in our sufferings what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. What is lacking in Christ's suffering? There is no lacking in Christ's sufferings, but what it means is that Jesus allows us to suffer with him. When you suffer, he suffers because you are his body. And so we look for opportunities to serve Jesus because of our love for God. And our love for God spills over into our love for all of his children, all the people that he has created, born and unborn, in the womb and in the hospital bed in old age. And so let us think about our own wounds, and if we don't have any scars, let's start making some scars to show our love for God. Amen.